Welcome to this deep dive. I'm so incredibly glad you could join us
Oh,
today
absolutely.
because we have a truly fascinating mission ahead of us. We are going to examine a document that is, without a doubt, one of the most ambitious, deeply unconventional, and honestly captivating pitch letters you will ever come across.
It really is something else.
Right. So I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you are the head of a massive, ancient, global institution.
Like, centuries of history.
Exactly. You're sitting in this opulent office surrounded by tradition. You check your daily correspondence and you find a direct pitch letter. And it's written to, quote, Pope Leo XIV.
A very specific target audience.
Yeah. And the author, a man named Mark A. Matheson, who identifies himself as the CEO of an organization called Anduan Yu Inc.
That is exactly the wild scenario we're unpacking today. And our goal here isn't just to gawk at a strange letter sent to the Pope.
No, not at all.
Right. The sources we're drawing from, specifically excerpts from a digital document that literally has the file name, copaleoundotext_005.docs, reveal an incredibly vast, almost overwhelmingly grand proposal.
_005. I just love that detail.
It's so good. But it's a genuine attempt to merge progressive digital technology, global sociology, and the Catholic Church into one unified worldwide movement.
It's a huge swing.
It's a pitch that swings for the fences in a way you rarely see, blending the absolute celestial with the very, very terrestrial.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if you are sitting there wondering what it would actually be like to be on the receiving end of this grand proposal, you have to start right at the very first line.
Oh, the opening is incredible.
Can you imagine the Pope's secretary printing this out, a document titled Popelio Ondu Text_005.docs, and the opening doesn't lead with some heavy theological debate or, you know, a traditional Latin greeting.
No, not at all.
He leads with web design.
Good design, yeah.
Matheson suggests that having a personal website will make Pope Leo the most progressive pope yet.
Which is quite a hook.
It is. Yeah. But the thing that immediately jumps off the page and honestly had me laughing out loud is the language. It reads like an early 2000s text message.
But it really does.
The author literally uses the letter U instead of spelling out Y-O-U and U-R-U-R instead of Y-O-U-R when directly addressing the pontiff.
It's such a wild rhetorical choice.
Yeah.
On one hand, you've got this immense formality of addressing the leader of the Catholic Church. I mean, a position steeped in rigorous protocol and tradition.
Right.
On the other hand, the prose adopts the ultra-casual shorthand of early internet culture or SMS text messaging,
mm-hmm.
It immediately strips away centuries of formal protocol.
Just totally ignores it.
It's almost jarring. But beneath that casual, almost irreverent exterior is a very specific strategic proposition. The creation of what the document calls AndU websites.
AndU websites.
Right. Matheson pitches these as being completely inclusive platforms where the Pope can put whatever he wants, setting a precedent for all future popes to have their own dedicated, personalized digital footprint.
It's basically pitching the Pope on becoming a digital creator.
Yeah, kind of an influencer.
It's saying, hey, people can really get to know much more about you and the church if you just have your own personalized platform. It's framing the papacy not just as a holy office, but as a deeply personal, accessible digital brand, which is a huge leap.
What's fascinating here is the tactic of appealing to legacy.
Mm.
Matheson is framing this digital footprint as a historically progressive milestone. He's telling the Pope that this is the pathway to being remembered as a modernizer.
That's a powerful angle.
It really teaches us something fundamental about persuasion.
Mm.
If you want to influence someone at the top of an ancient institution, you don't necessarily appeal to the tradition. You identify a potential underlying anxiety. In this case, that anxiety might be relevance in a rapidly changing digital age. You then offer a bespoke technological solution. By presenting these AndU websites as entirely inclusive, the pitch attempts to bridge the gap between ancient tradition and modern accessibility.
Suggesting that the public's ability to truly know the Pope requires a totally new medium.
Exactly.
And that idea of inclusivity doesn't just stop at a personal website. It scales up dramatically in the text.
Oh, really? Balloons?
Yeah, the document introduces this incredibly unique vocabulary to describe its global ambition. The author doesn't just say the world or earth. He repeatedly uses the term our earth. All one word.
Capital O, lowercase e.
Capital O, lowercase e. It completely reframes the planet as a shared collective possession.
That single word choice, our Earth, does a tremendous amount of heavy lifting in the document.
How so?
Well, it subtly shifts the reader's mindset. You stop thinking about divided nations, geopolitical borders, or even different time zones.
You're just one big group.
You start thinking about a unified shared ecosystem. It's a linguistic attempt to instantly dissolve the boundaries that keep people apart.
Exactly. And under this unified Our Earth, the organization's goal is just staggering. Matheson states that Anduan Yu will bring people together for humanity's sake, all under an Anduan Yu banner.
It's very utopian.
Very. And the specific aim he highlights, I found this part really striking. He wants to have billions more people feel that the act of giving is second nature.
That's a huge behavioral shift to ask for.
Right. Think about the last time you donated to a cause or helped a stranger. It usually requires a conscious decision, right?
You have to think about it.
Yeah, he's pitching a world where that isn't just a nice thing to do, but an automatic, involuntary reflex for billions of people.
To achieve that kind of scale, billions of people acting on reflex, you need an incredibly wide net, which is exactly what the document outlines.
He casts it pretty wide.
It's very wide. Matheson specifies that this movement welcomes all races, whether you are agnostic or a believer, and all what he calls love-based religions. It's a sweeping declaration of universal inclusivity.
Wait, hold on a second. If he's pitching the Pope, he can't just throw the doors open to literally everyone, right?
You would think so.
Doesn't the Catholic Church have incredibly strict doctrinal rules? How on earth does he expect the head of the church to sign off on a completely doctrine-free, agnostics-welcome platform?
You've hit on the exact tension in the document. A pitch this broad runs the massive risk of alienating the very specific, historically doctrinal institution it's being pitched to.
Exactly.
And Matheson seems to realize this. That's why the strategic pivot in the text is so crucial.
What does he do?
Immediately after listing this vast, inclusive demographic, agnostics, all religions, Matheson adds a very direct, short sentence. Christian doctrine is well represented.
Oh, wow. So he just sneaks that in there to calm the waters?
Precisely. It functions as a highly sophisticated persuasion technique.
Just a little reassurance.
Right. He is casting the widest possible global net to show the massive scale of the movement, which appeals to the ego and the desire for global impact, while simultaneously assuring his specific audience, the Pope, that his core institutional boundaries are safe.
It's like having your cake and eating it, too.
It's an attempt to harmonize a borderless global utopia with established religious doctrine. He's essentially saying, everyone is invited to the party, but don't worry, your music will still be playing on the speakers.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because Matheson doesn't just rely on the promise of good PR, a progressive legacy, or a clever phrase to smooth over theological differences.
He goes a step further.
A huge step. When it comes time to provide references for his organization, he goes straight to the absolute top. In the document, he explicitly states that he is 100% sure that Jesus/God wants Anduan Yu to succeed.
It is the ultimate claim of authority.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of writing to the Pope, claiming direct divine backing for your corporate initiative is, without a doubt, the boldest possible rhetorical move you can make. It entirely bypasses the earthly hierarchy of the church.
It's beyond bold. You can't just put God down as a professional reference on your resume.
Most people wouldn't try it.
But what makes this section of the text so completely mind-bending is the immediate pivot that follows. He drops this massive claim of divine endorsement, and literally in the very same breath, he zooms all the way down from the cosmos to a highly localized, incredibly specific earthly reference.
It's quite the tonal shift.
He tells the Pope that the reasons why he should support Anduan Yu have been emailed to Father Jim O'Connor.
Father Jim O'Connor.
Who is Father Jim O'Connor, you ask?
Yeah.
He's the leader of the Immaculate Conception Parish, located in Truro, Nova Scotia, Canada.
The juxtaposition there is truly remarkable. You go from the creator of the universe to a parish priest in a small town in Nova Scotia.
It's whiplash.
It gives you rhetorical whiplash.
Right.
But if we analyze the strategy behind this, it actually makes a bizarre kind of sense in the context of persuasion.
Okay.
When you make a claim as vast and unverifiable as divine endorsement, you risk sounding entirely detached from reality. By immediately grounding that celestial pitch with a very specific, terrestrial, reachable human being, Matheson is trying to build tangible credibility.
Right. He's actually giving the Pope a reference to call.
Exactly.
He describes Father O'Connor in very relatable, almost corporate terms. He says the father is well-liked, passionate about his career, and crucially, he calls him a man I could work with.
So corporate.
It's such a standard middle management business phrase, a man I could work with, applied to a local priest in a letter to the Pope. It brings this massive, abstract, global initiative right down to the level of a local community relationship.
Exactly. It demonstrates that the organization, despite its grand Earth ambitions and casual tech speak, has actual roots in local parishes.
It's not just in the clouds.
Right. It implies a chain of command and a respect for the church's existing on-the-ground infrastructure. He's essentially communicating, I have the divine mandate, but I also have the local branch manager's contact info, and he can vouch for my business plan.
The local branch manager, that is perfect.
It's a highly unusual blend of spiritual bravado and grassroots networking.
Okay, so we have God and a local priest in Nova Scotia vouching for him. But how does he actually plan to get everyday people on board?
That's the real challenge.
Because pitching the Pope is one thing, but getting billions of people to join a new internet chapter and make giving second nature is another. Does this guy have any actual data or a real plan to back up this movement, or is it just spiritual optimism?
That's where the pitch takes a fascinating turn from theology into sociology.
Okay.
The document transitions into diagnosing a massive global problem. Mm-hmm. It asserts that internationally there will be massive grassroots support for this movement because people are genuinely hurting.
Hurting how?
Matheson notes that many people are searching for purpose and meaning in their lives, and crucially, that many are tired of feeling isolated.
And if you're listening to this right now, maybe you're on your commute or walking your dog or just doing chores around the house. Think about how often you actually interact with your neighbors.
It's probably not very often.
Or how often you feel like you belong to a tight-knit community. Matheson was identifying a gap that I think almost all of us feel today, the epidemic of loneliness.
Exactly. The core proposition of AndU here is therapeutic. The document claims that by uniting the people of our earth, they will realize they belong to something good, and that by helping others, they are actually helping themselves.
It's a nice thought.
It's pitching altruism as a direct cure for isolation. And to prove he isn't just speaking from pure optimism, Matheson actually name drops a very specific academic in the letter.
Right. I was so surprised to see a citation in a document that started with and you. Who does he bring up?
He brings up Robert Putnam, the author of the famous sociological book Bowling Alone.
Yes.
The text claims that Putnam would be pleased to see the value of social capital increase so dramatically through this AndU movement.
Bowling Alone? That's a heavyweight reference.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the reference to Robert Putnam is highly significant. Bowling Alone, published in the year 2000, is a foundational text in understanding the decline of community engagement in modern society.
It really is.
Putnam popularized the concept of social capital.
For those of us who aren't sociologists, what's the best way to understand social capital?
Think of social capital like a neighborhood bank account of trust and reciprocity.
Okay.
If your car breaks down and three neighbors immediately offer you a ride to work, your neighborhood has high social capital. It's the tangible value of social networks.
That makes sense.
Putnam argued that this capital was depleting rapidly. People were bowling alone rather than in leagues, so to speak. By invoking Putnam, Matheson is signaling to the Pope that this isn't just a feel-good religious movement, it's a serious sociological intervention.
He's aiming to rebuild that bank account.
Matheson was essentially pitching the Pope on becoming the global bank manager for this massive new account of trust.
That is a brilliant way to frame it, and the text gets very specific about how they plan to build this social capital bank account.
It outlines a whole structure.
It outlines a continuous growth strategy, noting that the very name, AndU, entails this idea of continuous addition. The plan is to send out a global appeal to everyone who cares, working cohesively.
But not just from the top down.
Exactly. It's not just a top-down broadcast from the Vatican. They plan on creating localized AndU chapters all throughout our earth.
This chapter-based approach is crucial to the operational mechanics of the pitch. The document explains that each chapter will know the specific strengths and weaknesses of their own local community.
They know their own backyard.
Right. And here, Matheson introduces the concept of synergy. He describes a system where these chapters actively share their strengths with one another so that their collective weaknesses diminish.
It's an operational blueprint for grassroots resilience.
You aren't just giving money to a central authority in Rome. You're participating in a reciprocal network where local knowledge is leveraged to solve local problems, all connected by this global and-you digital infrastructure.
So, let's take stock of where we are. We have the personalized progressive website to fix the Pope's legacy.
Sure.
We have the unified concept of our Earth. We have the grand sociological cure for global isolation through social capital and synergistic local chapters.
Right.
And we have the ultimate endorsement combo of God and a parish priest in Nova Scotia.
So what does this all mean?
Where is this going?
Where is this massive buildup actually leading? What is the final ask of this pitch?
Every good pitch, no matter how wild or cosmic, culminates in a specific request.
Yeah.
And Matheson does not disappoint.
He really doesn't.
After laying out this vast framework, he finally reveals the core logistical necessity he needs from the Pope to make it all happen.
He asks for the real estate.
The real estate. Matheson makes the ultimate request. He asks Pope Leo to consider allowing and-you to use the Catholic Church's physical properties for their future meetings, at least for the short term.
It's unbelievable.
He is essentially asking to tap into the largest, most established network of prime physical real estate on the planet.
It is the ultimate Trojan horse strategy. You open by offering the Pope a personal website, a cheap digital gift, and you close by asking for the keys to the global parish network.
Just hand over the keys.
It's incredibly audacious. But if we analyze the rationale Matheson provides, he frames this not as a favor, but as a deeply mutual benefit.
Right. He doesn't just say, please let us use your buildings because we're a startup and we have no money.
No.
He sells it as a massive, unmissable opportunity for the church itself.
Yeah.
The letter argues that by allowing these meetings, millions of people will get comfortable being on the Pope's property. People will get to see what is displayed there.
Exactly. It's essentially the freemium tech model, but applied to global religion.
Freemium religion. I love that.
Think about a software company that gives you an app for free, but makes money when you engage with the ecosystem. Matheson is offering the Pope, the software, the websites, the progressive branding, and the massive grassroots energy completely for free.
And the premium feature.
The in-app purchase, so to speak, is using the Vatican's physical buildings. He is offering the church a solution to its own very modern problem of declining engagement.
It's a win-win framing.
Entirely. He's saying, you have the physical infrastructure, but they're sitting empty because of the decline in social capital. We have the grassroots energy and the sociological cure for modern isolation.
It fits together perfectly.
The pitch argues that if the church simply opens this doors to and-you, the grassroots movement gets the physical home it needs to gather and build trust. And in return, the church gets massive, organic foot traffic.
People actually walking through the doors.
It brings people, especially agnostics, or people who might otherwise feel completely isolated from institutional religion, right into the physical space of the church, getting them comfortable with the environment without forcing doctrine on them.
It is a brilliant, highly calculated framing of an otherwise impossible request.
It really is.
What a breathtaking journey of a document. I mean, we started with a casual text message style pitch featuring and you for a personal webpage to make the Pope seem more progressive.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. From there, we expanded to the borderless concept of our Earth, aiming to make global giving an involuntary reflex. We navigated the tricky waters of promising total inclusivity while ensuring Christian doctrine was protected.
The balancing act.
Then we saw the wild rhetorical swing from claiming 100% divine backing to immediately providing a reference check from Father Jim O'Connor in Truro.
Which is still my favorite part.
It's so good. We explored the deep sociological goals of the movement, digging into Robert Putnam's Bowling Alone and aiming to cure the modern epidemic of isolation by generating massive amounts of social capital through synergistic local chapters.
And then the grand finale.
And finally, it all culminated in a massive, audacious request to utilize the Vatican's global real estate portfolio to house this entire endeavor. It really is a masterclass in ambitious pitching.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And beneath all the eccentricities of the text, the shorthand spelling, the grand celestial claims, the abrupt geographical pivots there is something deeply compelling to reflect on.
What stands out to you the most?
This document highlights a very real, universal human desire. The text zeroes in on the fact that people are searching for purpose, that they are genuinely tired of feeling isolated in a modern, fragmented world.
That loneliness we talked about.
Right. Whether or not you agree with the methods, the casual tone, or the sheer audacity of the pitch, the underlying diagnosis is incredibly pointed.
It really rings true.
There is a profound need for connection, for belonging, and for the active building of social capital in a disconnected world. The author looked at the oldest continuous institution on Earth and saw not just tradition or dogma, but a vast untapped infrastructure for curing human loneliness.
It's a powerful way to look at the world and the institutions around us. It challenges us to look past what things are currently used for and imagine what they could be used for if we just had the nerve to ask.
This raises an important question, one that moves beyond this specific quirky letter to the Pope and touches on how we all interact with the communities we live in today.
And that is exactly what we want to leave you with today. Thinking about everything we have discussed, the intense need for connection, the concept of a neighborhood bank account of social capital, and the audacious idea of leveraging existing infrastructure here is a thought for you to explore on your own.
That's a good one.
If you are tasked with designing a grassroots movement to cure isolation and increase the social capital in your own local community, how would you leverage the physical institutions that already exist right around you?
Where would you start?
And perhaps more importantly, how bold would your pitch be to get them on board? Think about the spaces you walk past every day, the schools, the community centers, the places of worship. What would it take to turn them into active engines of connection?
Something to really think about.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you enjoyed unpacking this incredibly ambitious source material as much as we did. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and we will catch you next time.